Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is supported by Security Bank Philippines. You deserve better.
Hello? Hello?
Podcast Network Asia.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of The 80%. Today, pag-uusapan natin kung ano ba ang nangyari sa Philippine economy ngayong 2020. And to join us are two guests, Mr. Robert Dan Roses, who is the Chief Economist of Security Bank Philippines, and Mr. Angelo Taninco, the Research Head of SB Equities. Are you ready to listen and learn? Let's go! Hi, my name is Fitz Villafuerte at ako ay isang registered financial planner. Since 2007, nagbibigay na ako ng financial advice through my blog entitled Ready to Be Rich. And I continue this advocacy through this podcast kung saan pag-uusapan natin ang mga effective strategies kung paano ba yumaman. Thank you for tuning in and now on to the show. Madalas ko na ngayon makita sa social media na this is it, we're already in the new normal. Of course, the pandemic is not yet over, but it's safe to say na parang nakapag-adjust na tayo sa bagong reality natin. In fact, malapit na ngang matapos ang 2020. And if it were a normal year, siguro busy-busy na tayo sa pagki-Christmas shopping ngayon. For this episode, babalikan natin ang nangyari sa ekonomiya ng Pilipinas sa panahon ng pandemya. And we'll try to see what lies ahead for us.
I'm Robert Dan Roses. You can call me Dan. I'm the economist for Security Bank. And also, I belong to the Treasury Group.
I'm Angelo Taninco, or Jello. I'm the research head of SB Equities, the stock brokerage arm of Security Bank.
You just heard the voices of Dan Roses and Jello Taninco. They're both from Security Bank Philippines at sila ang magiging resource natin for today. Naisip ko kasi, maganda na from experts talaga tayo kukuha ng insights. So, as my first question to them, I asked, how was the Philippine economy pre-pandemic? I mean, kumusta ang Pilipinas nung natapos ang 2019 until the first 2 months of 2020? Here's Dan and Jello.
Approaching 2020, no, everybody was looking ahead into the trajectory that we were in the 6% growth for the next 2 to 3 years, no, and likely beyond that. No. So what we were in pre-pandemic was a direction wherein we were one of the fastest growing economies in the region. We had a very stable stock market. Production was chugging along. We had a stable trade level. We thought Taal was the worst of it. pero ano pala, no? Start pa lang pala yun, no? What 2020 will be, no? It was just a warning shot, no? So, yun. So, after that, all forecasts went down the drain, no? And it's, we're living history at the moment.
Dan was correct, no? That 2019 was really a period when the market was very optimistic about the outlook for the economy because we had strong economic growth at 6% last year. Inflation was relatively low within the central bank's target range and manageable. Fiscal deficit was also relatively low. So government was able to have a good fiscal management in terms of collecting revenues and in terms of spending for much needed projects like infrastructure. and the external sector of the economy in terms of foreign reserves, in terms of the trade deficit, were also both manageable. So no wonder our credit standing was good to the eyes of the rating agency. So we were entering 2020 with a solid financial and economic fundamentals.
So okay naman pala ang economy ng Philippines noong umpisa ng taon. Sayang lang talaga at nangyari itong pandemic. In any case, of course, there's no use in spending more time on what could have been. At mas importante na tingnan natin kung nasaan na tayo ngayon. I asked Dan and Jello, how resilient was the economy during this pandemic? And what type of recovery are they seeing for the country?
In terms of resilience, some sectors remain challenged, no? So we keep hearing about this recovery, kung V-shape or Nike swoosh or L-shape, no? But if we take a look at the sectors, ang nakikita namin, baka K-shape, no? Meaning, mayroong ibang sectors that will recover, some will likely be not recovering as what we would like to see. Chief of that will be, for example, tourism. Recovery, speaking of recovery, no, that actually depends on how fast our confidence is restored, no? So, yun nga, at least lumabas na yung vaccine news. So, we have essentially shifted from fear to some semblance of hope, at least. No? So that's a good sign, no? But the scarring has been deep. So, likely the recovery might still be gradual at the moment, no? Because a lot of sectors have been hit, especially airlines, for one. But some sectors have remained resilient. For example, you have telco. Lifeline natin yan eh, ngayon eh. No? So, the resilience is mixed.
Are there sectors that were actually not so much affected by this pandemic? Meron ba?
Ano ba? Jello, may nakita ba tayo?
Well, yung mga tinatawag natin na defensive sectors, ito yung kahit bumagsak ang ekonomiya or it goes up, they are still doing stable operations. So, like for example, telecom. In the past, even during when the economy was down, the telecom sector was still relatively good. And especially now because of the work from home arrangement that led us to demand more telecom services. And then another, of course, is power. So these are some of the relatively more resilient. And in fact, lumabas yung third quarter GDP. And it's still down by a double digit, but not as deep versus the second quarter. So the second quarter, we think, would be the worst, and that it has already, we think that we have already bottomed out from the second quarter. So there is some improvement already in the that we saw in the third quarter, but not yet pronounced because we still have the pandemic. We still have the quarantine restrictions, although it's still being eased, but it's done in a calibrated and a gradual manner. So slowly but surely, we're moving up. But there are still several sectors that are being challenged. So Dan mentioned tourism. Tourism, in fact, is a cross-cutting sector. It affects accommodation, food services, travel. So, and it accounts for about close to 13% of the country's GDP because it encompasses various sectors. No? So, talking about, for example, food services, it's still down because government regulations allow for limited seating capacity. And likewise, people are still scared to dine in. They still go into the online delivery. But it's not enough to meet fully the needs of the restaurants. So food traffic is down. So no wonder malls are still not doing good. But slowly but surely, if we have revived our confidence And if quarantine restrictions are eased, then we think that this can lead towards a better economy.
Now, what about the banking sector? Pareho silang galing sa Security Bank, and I'm curious as to how it has been for the industry.
It's a more resilient industry than compared to, let's say, back in 2008 and 9 when there was a global financial crisis, or even back in the late 1990s when there was an Asian financial crisis. So gone are the days when you have these kinds of banking crises because of low capitalization. We have learned from the past. So the banks are now more capitalized. They are more equipped, and they are able to better manage the risks. So under this condition, that's why the banking system is still relatively resilient. In fact, the third quarter shows the financial industry as the best sector performer across all industries under the GDP data.
To summarize what they just said, the economy has generally been resilient this year. There are industries that have remained strong and stable. But unfortunately, may mga sectors such as the travel and tourism industry na talagang bumagsak at mukhang matagal pa before makabawi. And thus, the K-shaped recovery that they're saying. And also, I think it's good news to hear that the worst is probably over. Here are more insights from Jello.
One key barometer is the stock market. It's a bellwether. It's a forward-looking market. So recently, we saw the market rallying. Most recent was because of the vaccine trial results from Pfizer announcing that their candidate vaccine is more than 90% effective. So because of that, the market reacted. It jumped by 5% and it breached 7,000. First time it went above 7,000 since February. So the market is now becoming optimistic, and especially for next year because it looks at a one-year horizon.
When do you see the GDP going up to positive numbers? Would it be by the end of the year or first quarter next year, second quarter? What do you think?
Kung kagagawa lang namin, Jello, yung bagong estimate niya. For fourth quarter, it's still going to be negative. No? It's yung GDP kasi, that's reported year on year. So if we compare it with last year, of course, it's going to be negative still. So that's why it's also important to look at the moment, to look at the quarter-on-quarter changes. No? And what we're seeing is that if you look at quarter-on-quarter, nag-i-improve naman, may improvement. No? It's just that it's gradual because there's some support that needs to be made. No? But it's improving. No? This, there's that. And likely positive siya next year because of the base effect again, no? And also a faster trajectory because of the development in the vaccine front. So we're confident that it's going to be negative next, positive next year, likely around second quarter, but likely the absolute growth level might still be lower than 2019 because recovery takes time, no? We might surpass the 2019 level by 2022. That's still our conservative estimate, no? But you guys, all signs are pointing to a positive rebound, at least starting by the second half of next year.
I've actually heard other economists say the same, that our GDP will rebound to positive numbers by second quarter next year. In other matters, I asked Jello on what he thinks will be the effect of the U.S. election results to the country, or how will a Joe Biden presidency affect the Philippine economy?
Well, I'd like to think that there would be stronger and better economic relation between the Philippines and the U.S. Under the Biden administration. Historically, regardless if the U.S. president is Democrat or Republican, the economy of the Philippines has been doing pretty well. I mean, especially for the last decade, growing by around more than 6%. So this was under Obama, and then followed by Donald Trump. So even under the time of Trump, the Philippines did pretty well.
We had this conversation before Typhoon Raleigh and Ulysses hit the country. And unfortunately, these typhoons has caused massive loss of lives and property in the Philippines. So, that's something to consider right now when it comes to how soon our economy could actually recover. In any case, I asked Jello, what's his outlook for the stock market in 2021? And he says this.
The stock market, of course, is looking at a better prospects next year because, one, it's now believing more strongly that there will be a vaccine next year. Two, that the quarantine restrictions will likely be eased further. If you look at the government stance at the moment, it's now looking at a risk management approach versus in the previous months when it was at a risk-averse mode. So meaning to say, they were still trying to build up the healthcare capacity in the previous months. But now they have built that up. The healthcare capacity is better. So which means that the government can now relax further the restrictions. Malls will, of course, they have been hit hard by the crisis because of low traffic, foot traffic. But next year, because of ease in quarantine restrictions and improvement on consumer mobility, more public transportation will be offered, then you'll expect more people in the malls back by next year. Similarly, let's say OFWs will again go back to their normal livelihood. More seafarers, for example, will be deployed. Then this will increase remittances, which in turn will support residential investment. So again, the property developers will benefit from this. Banking will also benefit because you will now have a more active economy. And with a more active economy, then there will be more borrowers and there will be more savers, there will be more investors. So that bodes well for the banking system. And still, we are dependent on telco services. So, of course, we are a new norm under a new normal where you'll have more workers under a work-from-home arrangement. So broadband services will, of course, be strong. And there's also still mobile services. People will still tap more of these kinds of telco services. So we think that the telecom sector will likewise do better next year.
But how about the global economy? What's their outlook for the coming months? Here's Dan to share his thoughts.
Yung nangyayaring lockdown sa Europe recently, no, that's a red flag. We have to watch out for that because that could likely affect the nascent recovery that we are seeing. No? So recently, there have been an uptick in terms of production, in terms of trade. No? It was improving. Hopefully, they recover faster. No? And I think the European Central Bank has said that even though nag-lockdown sila, it won't be as bad as what they experienced last spring. So that means that they are geared towards a faster reopening. China actually is recovering. They've actually gone out of negative growth rate. They'll likely be the only country in the world this year that will hit their target of 6%. Consumption has returned in China, no? And China being one of the larger trade partners of most of the countries, that's going to be very good as well in terms of lifting or supporting the global recovery. Electronic trade, as we're seeing, has been going up because of the demand for components that help people do work from home. There's a large demand for electronic products. So that helps countries who are involved in the supply chain, including the Philippines. And that also includes raw materials coming in from Indonesia and Thailand. So the prospects are good for the global economy, but will still be negative for this year, except for China. And of course, there's nowhere to go but up after what we experienced.
Our time was almost up at this point. and it felt reassuring to know that we're heading towards better days in terms of our economy. To end our conversation, I asked Dan and Jello for some advice that they can share for Filipino investors today. First, here's Dan, and then later on, Jello for his tips.
As a personal investor also, no, di ba, we keep hearing, okay lang ka ba papasok sa stock market? No? Pag, tsaka na, pag mura na, gala, pag mababa na. No? I think it, now is the time. No? Ito na yung once in a lifetime pagkakataon to do that. No? Di ba? Kasi we keep hearing that. Eh. Ako, admittedly, I haven't been too active in buying equities until this pandemic, no, because prices are low.
Yeah.
So and if you graph it, kasi, no, if you take a look at the PSEI index, siguro since 90s, you'll see that the trend is really going up, no. So when you go into the stock market, no, I think you should be in it for the long run, especially now. So in my view, lah, no, now is the best time to enter the stock market, no, if you're looking for a high yielding investment. Well, of course, it's good to have a healthy mix pa rin, no, something to balance your portfolio. So equities will always be high risk, high return, so you also want to have bonds in your portfolio, no. Also, index funds, I think, will be a very good strategy because it mimics how the PSEI moves, no? So that will be very good to include in your portfolio mix. Sabi nga ni Churchill, do not let a good crisis go to waste, no? So it's a very good time to enter the market. Yeah, I also like to add, for your listeners out there, no, check out our investment and trust products as well. No? We have UITF, we have fixed income securities, we have investment management accounts, no? The funds that we manage actually have very good yields, have very good returns. No? So it's available, or the prospectus is available in our website, no? www.securitybank.com.ph.
For investors out there who are looking for better opportunities, so I think you have to look at your risk tolerance and then the trends in the market. So, for example, the stock market is now rallying since it bottomed out last April. So with that, you might want to, of course, invest in certain stocks or, of course, in certain sectors that you are comfortable with or you have a good understanding of. No, don't just put your money in an investment that you don't understand, especially the risks. So, but that requires regular reading of news, looking at some data, not just Philippines, but also global. Or you can, of course, tap a fund manager that can be the one to manage your portfolio. And then, of course, you'll have to look at the different types of assets and allocate appropriately depending on your risk profile. So if you are more risk tolerant, then you can have more equities in your portfolio. Or if you are more risk averse, then perhaps more bonds in your portfolio. It boils down to your risk appetite and your outlook on certain companies, certain financial assets, and the macro, of course, especially on bonds, because it has the macro side, the economic outlook side would have a bearing on the performance of bonds, especially government securities. Well, of course, our contact details, you know, are very freely available in the website, and that we have our sales team who are, of course, looking at the interests of retail investors and not just institutional investors. And once you become a client of SB Equities, then you will get access to, say, our advisory services, including research, various reports from our equity analysts who are assessing more closely certain companies or stocks. And also, we have our economist, Dan, here, who will give us a better picture of the macro environment. And also the interrelationship amongst certain financial markets, ranging from equities to bonds and currencies. So our stock brokerage belongs to the Security Bank family, but the Security Bank itself has a wide range of resources, including branches, who have investment experts and, of course, wealth managers who can provide a wide array of our financial investment products and opportunities.
This year has been difficult for everyone, not just in the Philippines, but for everyone around the world. If there's anything that 2020 has taught us about personal finance, it's how essential it is to learn and practice good money habits. Because during these challenging times, it is when we realize the value of having savings, the necessity of managing our cash flow, and more importantly, having the knowledge, skills, and the courage to seize investing opportunities. Time and again, markets eventually recover. And as it has always been, today is the best time to invest. Remember that the risk is not when markets are down and you pulled out. The real risk is when the market is going up and you're not part of it.
If let's say you join the stock market now and the market rallies significantly over the next couple of years, after a few years' time, then you will look back and say, well, I did not regret my decision. But it has to be a smart decision. It has to be an educated decision.
And that's the end of our episode. Thank you for listening. Kung may natutunan kayo today, then please follow or subscribe to The 80% and invite nyo na rin ang mga friends nyo to listen to our podcast. Acknowledgement goes to Security Bank Philippines for supporting this episode. And thank you to Mr. Dan Roses, the Chief Economist of Security Bank, and Mr. Jello Taninco, Research Head of SB Equities, for sharing their insights with us. For comments and suggestions, you can always message me on Twitter or Instagram. My username is @broadfits. Or you can go to our show notes, which you can find at bit.ly/the80%, and leave a comment there. That's it. My name is Fitz Villafuerte. See you in our next episode. Goodbye for now. Take care and stay safe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.